Chapter 11. Kendall. I ran out of the media room, leaving Nero behind. I couldn't believe he had said that. Had I meant nothing to him? I thought I had. Didn't he say he loved me? I could only hold back my tears until I was outside running back to campus. With no one around, I bawled. I had been such a fool. I was an idiot to think that someone like him could love me. And it was a mistake to give a football player a chance. They were all the same. Perhaps Nero had found a different way to hurt me. But in every way, this was worse. At least I had my protective barrier around me in high school. Nero had gotten me to bare my heart. With it exposed, he had reached in and ripped it from my chest. As the thoughts overwhelmed me, I slowed, looking for a place to collect myself. Looking around, I realized where I was. This was where Nero and I had escaped to after I panicked, realizing who I had been assigned. I found the bench we had chosen and sat down. The tears didn't stop. With my elbow to my knees, I cried into my hands. I had tried to push my feelings for him aside and be a professional, but how could he be so cruel? Didn't he have a heart? Hadn't he cared about me at all?
Kendall, are you okay?
It took a second for the words to register. Someone was standing in front of me. They were in arm's reach, and the voice sounded familiar. It took me a moment to place it, but when I did, terror tore through me like a fireball. Evan Carter. I looked up, finding the vision from my nightmares staring back at me. This was it. He was going to kill me for what Nero did to him. I needed to get away. Leave me alone, I said, jumping up and backing off.
No, wait, I'm not here to hurt you. I just want to talk, he said, holding up his hands.
Sure you are, just like in high school. What are you going to do this time? Beat me to an inch of my life and leave me for dead?
Jesus, no. Fuck, why would you say that?
Why would I say that? I asked, shocked. Have you forgotten all of the things you did to me? Because I haven't. I still dream about them. I can't get them out of my head.
Horror flashed across Evan's face hearing my words. He was stunned. Stopping his pursuit, he yelled,
I'm sorry!
I'm so sorry,
he said before falling to his knees, overwhelmed.
Wait, what? I didn't understand what was going on. It startled me so much that I slowed to a stop. Had he just apologized to me? He did, and it sounded like he meant it. I stood, staring at him, wondering what I should do. I could walk away, but Evan had just given me what I had dreamed about for so long, and he had without a threat to his life.
I was such an asshole to you, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that I'm only here because you broke into my house with that guy, and now I regret what happened. But no, I've always regretted it. There hasn't been a second I haven't hated myself for doing those things to you.
Now I was really confused. I don't understand. If you regretted doing them, then why did you?
Evan looked up. There were tears in his eyes. Actual tears. I didn't think he was capable of human emotions.
You have to have known. Out of everyone, you had to know. There's no way you didn't.
I hate to tell you this, but I don't know what the hell you're talking about, I said, approaching him.
Don't you remember when it all started?
I searched my memory.
When what started? You were always a dick to me. You were an asshole from the first time we met.
That's not true.
You have to know that's not true.
I don't, because it is, I said defiantly.
Freshman year, we were in the same art class, remember?
I thought back. Mr. Adderley.
Yeah.
So? Evan flinched painfully. It confused me even more.
I didn't know who I was back then. I hadn't joined the football team yet. I was still trying to figure things out. But I knew that when I first saw you, I felt different. I couldn't explain it because I had no words for it. All I knew was that I wanted to talk to you. So, after a few weeks of losing my nerve, I built up my courage and approached you. You said you liked my art, I suddenly remembered.
Right.
And I responded by shitting on you, I admitted.
You didn't say thank you or start talking to me. You told me it was what talent looked like, and I would know that if I had any.
Right.
Why would you say that? I was trying to be friends with you. I liked you.
You liked me?
Yeah, Kendall. I liked you. I liked you a lot. There was a long time when I couldn't stop thinking about you.
The realization of what Evan was telling me flicked on like a light. As soon as it did, everything that happened made sense. Almost everything.
So you're what? Gay?
Evan lowered his head.
Then why would you make my life hell? I was the only out gay guy in the school.
Because you were the only out gay guy in the school. Kendall, you didn't make me accepting who I was easy.
I looked at him, stunned. I didn't make your self-acceptance easy? I don't even know where to begin with that. You made everything about my self-acceptance the hardest thing in the world.
I know, and I'm so sorry about that. But please, see it from my perspective. I stared at him, pissed.
Which is? You were the only gay guy that anyone at our school knew about. So anyone who hinted that they might like guys would immediately be compared to you.
And?
Did you have to wear dresses to school? Did you have to wear makeup?
Yes, I did. Because people like you were telling me that I couldn't. I had to prove that I wasn't going to give in to your bullshit. I wasn't going to be ashamed of myself.
Evan lowered his head. I get it. It just didn't make things easy for me. That's all. I didn't want to wear dresses. I didn't want to wear makeup. I just liked guys.
So, since you were the only gay guy I'd ever met...
You thought there was only one way to be gay, I suddenly realized. So you hated yourself because who you felt like didn't match what you thought you had to be.
Exactly, Evan said excitedly.
I looked at him blankly, lifting my hands, palms open in front of me. I slowly turned them until my fingertips were pointed at me.
What?
I emphasized that my fingers were pointed at me.
I don't get it.
Evan, that's what I was going through. Do you think I had it any easier than you did?
You didn't? How could you not? Your parents had to have accepted who you were.
Tolerating it isn't the same thing as accepting it. Why do you think I kept doing the things I did? I was trying to create a space large enough for me to be myself without people looking at me strangely for it. That's why I wore dresses and makeup. So that whatever else I did, it wouldn't compare.
I get that now, Evan said, nodding his head. But that doesn't mean you made things easy for the rest of us.
The rest of us?
Yeah, I wasn't the only other gay guy at our school. I had a buddy on the football team that would help me out when I needed relief.
So two of the assholes making my life hell were gay?
He had a girlfriend. I don't know if he was gay. He would just help me out sometimes.
Because that's what friends do? I asked him sarcastically.
Yeah.
Jesus!
What?
I opened my mouth, about to tell him how stupid he was, when I stopped. He really didn't know. And how could he? How could anyone know what they don't know? Wasn't that the purpose of a therapist? To share insights that clients wouldn't have gained any other way? How different would my life have been if someone had helped Evan to accept himself? I probably wouldn't be the person I am today. I didn't know if I would be better or worse, but I sure would have liked to find out. Evan, have you ever thought about seeing someone? Like a therapist?
I don't need to see a therapist, he responded defensively.
First of all, you absolutely do. I can barely think of anyone who needs to see one more.
Evan lowered his eyes.
I know.
You do?
Yeah.
I might be dumb, but I ain't stupid.
So why haven't you?
I don't know. But maybe if you were willing to spend some time with me.
Okay, that's never gonna happen. Ever. There's too much that has gone on between us. Yeah, you're right.
But there are a lot of people out there who are willing to help you. There's an LGBT center in Nashville. And if going there in person would be too much for you, there are hotlines you can call. What I'm saying is, there's a way out of what you're feeling. You don't have to hate yourself anymore.
Evan's gaze dipped. A moment of silence went by before he spoke again.
Can I ask you something?
What's that?
Why were you so mean to me that first day? Because it really hurt.
I thought back. I didn't remember much of it. For the most part, it was just another day. Was this how he remembered all of the days he hurt me?
I don't know. I was probably just being insecure. Or maybe I was just being a dick, I admitted. I was dealing with a lot back then.
Evan held out his hands in front of him and slowly pointed his fingers towards himself, mirroring my gesture. He didn't do it as forcefully as I had, but I got his point.
Can I ask you another question?
What?
Do you forgive me?
I stared at him. Did I forgive Evan Carter, star of my nightmares and terrorizer of my youth?
Evan, you hurt me. I'm still dealing with the scars.
If it makes you feel any better, so am I. I wake up screaming, having dreamed about what I did to you back then.
You have nightmares about what you did to me?
All the time. It haunts me. I was kind of glad when you had your friend beat the shit out of me. I thought I would be able to consider us even. But it didn't change anything.
Which is why you came here?
Yeah.
And why I've been seeing you around campus.
Evan looked away.
And why I saw you around campus so much my freshman year?
He looked at the ground.
So, I wasn't going insane. That really was you.
I just want you to forgive me.
I looked at the guy I had thought about so much throughout my life. For the first time in a long time, I saw him as human.
Evan Carter, I forgive you, I said, surprised to hear it come out of my mouth.
He got off his knees.
Really?
He asked excitedly.
Yeah.
With a smile on his face, he threw his arms open, about to hug me.
No,
I said coldly. I forgive you, but we aren't friends, and
you need to get help.
You owe it to me and everyone else you've hurt.
I paused, catching myself.
More than that, you owe it to yourself. You don't have to feel like this, and there could be a really great life waiting for you on the other side.
Evan settled himself.
I appreciate you saying that.
I never want to see you again, Evan. Is that clear?
He took a deep breath.
It's clear.
Good.
And good luck, I said sincerely.
Thank you, Kendall,
for everything, he said before turning around and walking out of my life forever.
I couldn't have imagined how cathartic my conversation with Evan could have been. Watching him walk away, I felt different.
Everything felt different. Never had I been surer about what I was doing with my life. I wanted to help little boys like Evan.
Intervening with them early could change their lives and the lives of everyone around them. But it wasn't just LGBT kids I wanted to help. There were adults. A lot of people in this world were in pain.
I thought about it. Wasn't Nero one of them?
I was never meant to be with Nero. That wasn't why we had been put together. I was there to help him. I knew he was having a rough time with life. I knew he was inclined to make bad decisions. Yet, I allowed things to develop between us.
It was wrong of me. If I cared about him, if I truly cared about him, then I had to do better. If I loved him like I claimed to, then I had to make a decision for him. We couldn't be together. Not if I cared about him, and not if I'm going to help him.
I knew what his problem was, and he wouldn't be having it if I hadn't stuck my nose in where it didn't belong. When I heard his mother's story, it broke my heart, so it had to have devastated Nero. Someone had to tell him that he mattered to them. A lot of someones had to tell him.
Marching back to my room to come up with a plan,
I got a call from somebody I hadn't expected. "Quinn, what's up?" I asked, happy to hear from him. "Have you seen Nero?"
"Yeah, I left him about 30 minutes ago. He had an interview with a Nashville reporter. I think he's still at the sports facility."
"I don't think he is."
"What's going on?"
"I just got a call from Titus. He walked in on him tearing apart their room, and when Titus went to stop him, Nero knocked him out. He said when he woke up, Nero was gone. Kendall, I don't see him doing anything good."
"Shit.
Do you have any idea where he might be?" Quinn pushed.
"None."
"Really? Because I was counting on you knowing something."
"I'm sorry, I don't."
As soon as I said it, an image flashed into my mind. It was of us standing at the edge of the lake. It was where he ran to when he was a kid. I don't know why I thought about it, but remembering the moment I fell in love with him wasn't helpful right now.
"Okay, Cage is trying to call him. Hopefully he'll pick up.
Let me know he's all right if you hear from him."
"I will," Quinn said before ending the call. This was my fault. There was the reason Professor Nandan wanted me there.
I was supposed to be his support. Instead, I got lost in my melodrama bullshit. Now, he was out there somewhere hurting others and probably himself. I again thought about our time at the lake. What had made me think of it? I wasn't sure, but I had to get my head in the game. I had to think of where he could be. At some point, he must have shared something that would help now. Continuing to think about it, I headed back to my room. I was kind of hoping that Corey wasn't there. I loved him, but he had been acting very weirdly since the cuddling incident. I had tried to tell him that nothing that had happened was a big deal. Yeah, he had an erection. What guy didn't in the morning? And yes, his erection touched my butt. Life goes on. I was going through a hard time. I was appreciative that he was there for me. I told him that. He grunted something unintelligible and then got all twitchy. Like I said, he was being weird. I really wished he wasn't, because it would have been nice to tell him everything that had just happened. How many horror stories had I shared with him about Evan Carter? How many times had I woken him up with my screaming? Well, stop the presses. Evan and I are good now. Okay, we weren't really good, but I think I'm good. At least, I would be if it wasn't for what Quinn told me about Nero. I had to think of what I could do to help. Maybe what he needed was an intervention, but instead of dragging him off to rehab, it could be people telling him how much they loved him. They could all, person after person, repeat that they loved him and how happy they are to have him in their life. I stopped walking and pressed my fingers against my eyes. What that reminded me of was that I couldn't be one of those people. I could never be one of those people. I couldn't love him the way I so desperately wanted to. Not if I was going to give him the help that he so clearly needed. We can't all get what we want, and the person who won't be able to get it this time is... Kneeling before I fell to the ground, I sat on my ass and cried. These weren't like the tears I shed an hour ago. This time, I knew why we weren't going to be together, and it was out of love. This was how I could prove to him that I loved him, by putting his needs over mine. And these weren't just words and empty promises anymore. I knew what I needed to do, even if knowing didn't make things easier. I sat on the ground crying things out. It was a while before I was able to get up and continue to my room. By the time I got there, I felt better. Okay, I didn't feel better, but I did feel stronger. "Hey," I said to Corey, who ended up being home. "Hey," he said, still not able to look me in the eyes. "This is ridiculous, Corey, and has to stop. So you had an erection. So your erection touched my butt. Are you so insecure that you're gonna let a little homoerotic cuddling ruin our friendship? Things happen. I mean, how homophobic are you?"
"Kendall, I'm not straight," he said, cutting me off. I paused to make sure I heard what I did.
"I'm sorry, what?"
"I'm not straight. I've always suspected something was different about me, but I've been with Kelly for so long that I didn't think it would be an issue. I didn't think I would have to deal with it, but I can't deny it anymore." I'm not straight, he said, looking at me with his big puppy dog eyes. I stared at Corey, not saying a word. A part of me was shocked by the news. Another part screamed, I knew it! But I also knew there was a certain way I was supposed to handle this. After all, wasn't he coming out to me? I was a gay guy. I was supposed to be good at this stuff.
Aren't you gonna say anything? He asked.
Having waited far too long to speak, I knew there was only one thing I could do. So I walked up to him, threw my arms around him, and squeezed. I'll be here for you, whatever you need, I told him, meaning it.
Thank you.
I let him go and held his shoulders in my hands. So what narrative are we going with? Are we gonna say that cuddling with me turned you, or... I asked with a smirk. Corey laughed. It was good to see him smile again. At least one of us was happy.
You wish, he said, cheering up.
I mean, if you were single, maybe.
Oh,
Corey said, suddenly becoming serious. But you're not, I reminded him. And I'm having a crisis with the guy I was supposed to be with, but am not, apparently.
What's going on?
Telling Corey everything that had happened since the last time we spoke took the rest of the day. When it became dark outside and I still hadn't heard from Quinn, I texted him. Any word yet?
Nothing. He didn't attend practice. Everyone's still looking. This is insane. Where could he have gone?
Thinking about it again, I drew a blank. All I could think about was looking down at him as he threw up at the mention that he could hurt me. How could someone be so tough, yet so sensitive? I was barely able to fall asleep that night. But when I did, I kept dreaming of one location over and over again. It was of the lake. In one dream, I was asking him why he had left me. In another, I had asked him why he would hurt himself. So, when I woke up, the first thing I did was call Quinn.
Did you hear from him?
Quinn asked desperately.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I think I know where he is. It was somewhere he took me when I was in Snowtip Falls.
Cage has been looking everywhere there. He's been asking everyone.
It's not in town. I'll tell you how to get there. But before I do, I need you to do something. It's important. It's a matter of life and death.